As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. I'm Tom Keene, along with Paul Sweeney. Join us each day for insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. You can also watch the show live on YouTube. Visit the Bloomberg Podcast channel on YouTube to see the show weekday mornings from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern from our global headquarters in New York City. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen. And always on Bloomberg Radio, the Bloomberg Terminal, and the Bloomberg Business App. We could talk of Rebecca Patterson of Bridgewater. And she's out. It's a long garden leave right now.
What's that say you do when you're a player, Tom? You just don't hop place to place?
Yeah, you don't. You know, she's out on garden leave now. She's with Bridgewater. She was with Bessemer Trust.
I know this.
Managing careful money. But when I first met her, she was hurting yen in J.P. Morgan. She is expert on currency intervention. We are honored to start strong this morning with Ms. Patterson. Rebecca, can you do a unilateral intervention where it works? Every textbook I know says, no, you can't.
The textbooks are right in this case. So Japan is trying to slow the weakening yen trend, but I think they know full well they can't turn the trend just by intervening. They can spend a lot of money to try to slow it down, but that's all they're going to get. To have a real turn in a currency, you need coordinated intervention. So you have to have several countries working together, ideally including the U.S. That sends a big signal. And you want policy moving in the same direction as the intervention. So in this case, if they want a stronger yen, they would need to be raising interest rates by a lot more than what's currently expected in the market.
What's so important here is a multidimensionality of it. The simplistic media approach is, what about the Fed? Forget about that. They have to worry about the entire Pacific Rim. They're getting a free lunch right now with enhanced exports. Are you going there this summer, Paul? Everybody else is.
Going where?
Japan's
Japan.
A new destination.
Oh, I know. Warren Buffett told me about it. I know. Yeah, I know.
Tourism's
I
mean, a huge, huge...
You can get a lot of sushi right now.
Yeah.
Yes, with
exactly.
Your dollars.
The answer is there's a Pacific Rim impact. What is it?
Right. So a lot of these countries compete with each other for the U.S., for Europe. Mm-hmm. So Japan going down puts pressure on countries like South Korea, Indonesia, Philippines, Singapore, China, to also have weaker currencies. So Korea is making a lot of comments now that they're in some pain, could see intervention in other countries across Asia too. So they're all going to be fighting against this trend, but it's a fight they can't win.
So, all right, just keeping on top of that Japan story, we think about the U.S. exceptionalism from an economic perspective. That's been the discussion over the last 6 to 12 months here. How unusual is it that you have a U.S. economy growing at the rate it's growing versus China versus Europe? How unusual is that, and how do you play that?
Well, it's not that unusual to see the U.S. as kind of the main engine of global growth. And when that is the case, it is pretty normal that the U.S. equity market would be outperforming, that the dollar would be strong because foreign capital is coming here to invest in the U.S. U.S. capital is staying here because it's more attractive. What I think will be interesting as we look ahead to this summer, you saw the news, I'm sure, and you've already reported on China this morning talking about having a policymaker session in July, talking about additional stimulus elements, probably before that, including rate cuts, et cetera. Can they do enough? So it's not one engine of growth, it's multiple engines of growth. I'm skeptical. I don't think they'll be able to pull it off, but they're going to be giving us more.
What does Japan's travails mean for American citizens? How does it redound back to our listeners, our viewers this morning in America?
Well, again, the weak yen is a reflection of the broadly strong dollar. The dollar is up against almost every currency around the world year to date. So you do need to think about, what does the strong dollar mean? The strong dollar tends to be a pretty big headwind for emerging emerging market equities. So that's an area that already, you know, has idiosyncratic risk around China, but now you have this broad macro risk as well. The strong dollar is the Fed's best friend. You know, if the Fed is trying to get inflation back down to 2%, a strong dollar slows down U.S. growth by making our exports more expensive, less competitive overseas. That tends to weigh on manufacturing, slowing growth, disinflationary. That helps the Fed. So again, back to intervention, the Fed doesn't want to help Japan here. The Fed wants a strong dollar. So it's good for getting inflation down. It's bad for our exporters, and it's bad for anyone looking at emerging markets right now for diversification.
Then what does our Federal Reserve do tomorrow? We're going to have Tom and the surveillance team, and they'll be, you know, full coverage tomorrow afternoon. But what do we expect from our Federal Reserve tomorrow?
I definitely think you could have a bingo card ready with words like more confidence, words like patience. I think they're going to be on hold. They're going to want to see a couple months of inflation coming back down after these 3 months of sticky numbers. But I do think we'll get more chatter about what they're doing with their balance sheet and slowing down QT. And I think that could be, at the margin, something that helps take some of the upward pressure off U.S. yields at the long end. And it also could take a little pressure off some of the regional banks, because right. they tend to get hit harder right. by what's going on with yields.
Let me ask you a Bessemer question, in that we're in a bull market. Some would say it's a second leg of a bull market. What is your wisdom for people that have missed the boat leaving the dock? You got to get back on. Do you load the boat on Amazon this afternoon? How do you, don't tell me you're going to dollar cost average. You're not on the patience for that. I'm way behind.
If someone handed me a big check today and I had to figure out what do I do with it, do I stay on the sidelines? Do I invest? Because equity markets go up 8 years out of 10 on average, if the economy's growing, if there's earnings coming through, equities tend to benefit from that. It's pretty common sense. So I would be getting into the equity market even here, even at these valuations. I would not just be loading up on the magnificent whatever number you want to use, right. 6, 7, 4. But I would probably look for diversified exposure to the U.S. market, overweight the U.S., maybe some exposure to Japan as well. I think they can keep riding this a while longer. And then interestingly, with fixed income, you know, U.S. bond yields are rising. It's hurting those returns. Right. You can buy a 9-month treasury right now for almost 5%. You hold it through maturity, so you know you're going to get that. You're not going to lose value, and it gets you through the election. So if we have any wonky little happenings around the election, you know you're going to get that return. To me, that would be some diversification. Right. I also think gold is a good thing to have here for diversification, even at these levels.
Okay. We're out of time. Can you come back and go Gator on us?
I would love to go Gator on you.
Did she live Gator? But as a child, she was all Gator.
Was
her father was
right?
Major Gator.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
So we'll come in. Rebecca Patterson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining us today, particularly careful discussion of yen. You have to get up out of that chair because John Tucker's, he says, I'm no Michael Barr, and I got to come in. So thank you. Rebecca, thank you. Good to see you.
Nobody ever says make it complicated. That is why Nationwide makes simplicity a priority by providing financial professionals with straightforward, client-ready resources. From clear strategies to help clients meet retirement savings and income needs, to ways to cover rising healthcare costs and more. Nationwide simplifies planning so more time can be spent helping clients. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
George Concalves joins right now. We're on Apple CarPlay, on YouTube. Search Bloomberg Podcasts out there. There's a live chat. It's sort of people are waking up. Whitefish, Montana.
Oh, nice. Fish out there. I'm guessing they fish.
You know Whitefish, Montana. Life is tough. Good morning in Whitefish, Montana. Good morning to George Concalves as well. Head of macro strategy at MUFG. That's a Japanese firm, and I think it would be more than inappropriate to talk to Mr. Concalves about yen. That is between the major banks and the Bank of Japan and the Ministry of Finance. George, the challenges that companies are having, is it just because after inflation,
the real yield is 2.21%. Does that just make it harder to do business?
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, everyone. Good to be on with your listeners. I do think that there's a number of things working. Yes, real rates do matter. In general, rates matter overall, and we're starting to feel the full brunt of these higher debt servicing costs, especially for the more smaller, mid-sized businesses. But even for the large corporates that really, those that had pricing power, some still do, but as you've been reporting all morning long.
Coca-Cola.
If you have pricing power, you can kind of pass it through. But everyone else is starting to realize that you can't just pass it through. So you're losing your earnings momentum that we have for the last 3 years. So inflation helped in many ways kind of to mask that, lifted all boats in a very odd way for earnings. And now the real cost with the Fed raising rates as much as they did, real rates matter and they're starting to bite now.
So, George, here, we're probably roughly halfway through earnings here for the S&P 500 this cycle. Any takeaways here? Because, again, like as Tom was calling out for Coca-Cola, some companies still have a lot of pricing power out there.
Yeah, and look, the same sort of repeat story around tech. We get misses here and there, but by and large, tech's another area that has a lot of pricing power and low overall kind of service costs. I feel like we haven't seen a real new trend forming, but it's building upon the idea that we're on the on the other side of almost going back to the pre-2020s, if I can kind of say that. I mean, back to the way things used to be, where it's going to be those with pricing power.
And now, folks, we descend the cone of silence, just like Get Smart years ago, because there's a Fed meeting tomorrow. George Kangavas, what is Powell not going to say at the Fed meeting?
Well, we think that he will avoid saying that hikes are on the table, that there anything goes, or that policy could be adjusted both up and down. We think he'll try to avoid doing that, although I wouldn't be surprised if the press corps tries to ask him.
Mike McKee would ask him, is it a possibility, as Lindsay Piggs at Stiefel says, is you really should raise rates? That's not going to happen, George.
That's not going to happen. I mean, the Fed rather stay on hold for longer than end up, let's say that we do get a slowdown in the economy in the next 6 months to a year, they will end up owning it for hiking last minute. So they'd rather just do nothing and stay on hold for longer.
Tomorrow, 1:30, Farrow, Bramo, and myself,
oh, no.
The Fed decides, we return. This is part of my 800-page agreement with
Bloomberg.
Most of it's on the food court. But the Fed decides tomorrow. We look forward to that. You will see that out on YouTube Live, Bloomberg Podcast. That's a good place to see us, is on YouTube tomorrow. The Fed decides at 1:30. Paul?
So, George, what are you thinking about here? Because we're going to have the Fed either holding rates or at some point later near cutting rates. We have the European banks probably cutting rates here. Where do we go here? I mean, are you kind of leaning more towards, equities, fixed income? Where do you think the opportunities are for the next 6 to 12 months?
I think buying the dips, and have to be significant dips in fixed income, and we're starting to get there. I mean, look, the dollar can be the wrecking ball if you get the ECB going one way and the Fed going the other way. The Bank of Japan is reluctant to raise rates. I mean, we really have, like, the dollar is the only game in town, and when the dollar strengthens, it causes issues around the world for both corporates that translate back earnings, but and a number of other things in terms of dollar liquidity. So I'm really focusing on the dollar and the 10-year treasury. Those are the two most important indicators. I mean, oil as a kind of third third, but it's a dollar in the 10-year. If the 10-year makes a run above 4.75 and doesn't slow down, that's going to hurt equities and might be a buying opportunity for bonds.
Tomorrow with the Fed, is a 2-year of value to watch? We have the Sweeney 5% level right now, 4.97%. Is it valid to use the 2-year, George Kangavas, is a Fed barometer?
I mean, you could always use a 2-year, but I think that they've now, like almost what they did last year around August, September, October, when we last spoke about these things, the bear steepener and the long-term rates will matter more, because we've had rates under the Fed funds for all this time period. So the 2-year won't matter as much. It's going to be if the 10-year starts moving more.
Okay, George, thank you so much. George Kangavas with his MUFG. Greatly, greatly appreciate that. We do economics, finance, investment, and international relations. We do politics. We try to stay away from some of the Washington story, everyone just covering it, including with encyclopedic knowledge, Laura Davison. She's pulled the short straw right now. And we have to ask her about this breaking news of the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. And let me quote exactly Donald Trump. Well, this is our Patricia Hurtado, who's incredibly experienced. Donald Trump was found in contempt of court and fined $9,000 after New York judge overseeing his criminal hush money case ruled. The former president repeatedly blasted key trial witnesses on social media in violation of a gag order. Lori, I know you're unprepared for this and not read in, but at the same time, you followed it tick by tick. What are the political ramifications to the former president? Does this help him or hinder him to have this contempt of court?
This really shows that the judge is, not afraid to kind of follow up on what she said the punishment might be. Trump, whenever he is punished in some way, whether it's an indictment, this case, he's able to fundraise off of it and bring in some money. However, politically, whether this, helps him more broadly, a kind of an electoral sense, that still remains to be seen. We could start to see indications here that the judge is not going to rule in Trump's favor. And we know that if Trump is convicted, a majority of swing state voters say they won't vote for him.
With the exhausting news flow that's out there, are people like you within the beltway, are they transfixed by these trials or are they separate from other major political issues?
I think that right now, the trial is the main political issue for Trump. It's basically how he's campaigning. He's in court most days. He's, making this part of a key part of his campaign strategy. All these appearances he's done around New York, we'll see him on the campaign trail out in the battleground states tomorrow for the first time in several weeks. So he's going to Michigan and Wisconsin. But even there, he's talking a lot about these trials, right, and calling them a witch hunt, that sort of thing.
And Paul, I was struck this weekend, I believe it was, to see him meeting with Governor DeSantis down in Florida. Yeah. I mean, think about it. The guy's working 3-4 days up here. We see it with Midtown traffic, Trump right. Tower locked up where he's living, I assume. And then he's working the weekend down in Florida. It's remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Laura, let's talk about what's happening in the Middle East here. We have Secretary Blinken, back in the Middle East, trying to broker some type of negotiation here. What's the feeling within the administration as to the role it can play and how this might play out over the coming days and weeks?
So the administration is hopeful that a deal is coming together. They've been, sort of pushing for this. We heard yesterday, Blinken talk about how, it's really just up to Hamas to accept this deal. The idea here is that there would be a long ceasefire, a hostage deal, and that would really turn down the temperature on what is both, been a major problem for the administration, both abroad as well as domestically, as the protests on college campuses have really ramped up and become both a political problem for them as well as, kind of a crisis on some of these campuses that they're dealing with. How to go about, handling the protest and, how to discipline students.
So have we heard anything from the administration about some of these protests on the college campuses? I mean, it's obviously a very fluid situation and strong feelings on both sides. But A, have we heard anything from the administration? And is there any sense that maybe impacting their strategy?
The administration has been quite quiet about this. We've heard, Biden say that, that anti-Semitism is bad and students, be refraining from that sort of rhetoric and pushing back on some of these things. However, the campaign has kind of, privately been saying, look, this isn't really going to affect our, electoral chances. People vote on the economy, not on foreign policy, and they're not seeing this as a big drag on them come the fall.
Laura, one final question. We know you got to go to breaking news. How did the president do at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? What was the grade score that you and others would give him of this inside Washington event?
This was really, a sort of his next big speech, kind of after, at least kind of for the general audience after the State of the Union. He started out, cracking jokes, making fun of Trump, of Colin Jost, of the press, but then pivoting into this more, serious message about democracy and the perceived dangers that Trump poses. For him, it was a good night, less so for Colin Jost, who was more roasted and criticized for his performance.
Laura, we'll let you go to breaking news. Laura Davison in Washington with our team here. And again, to get to that news, let me get it up here exactly, Paul. I'm remiss not to have it up. The former president of the United States, Donald Trump, fined $9,000 for violating gag order and hush money trial. That from Patricia Hurtado.
Nobody ever says make it complicated. That is why Nationwide makes simplicity a priority by providing financial professionals with straightforward, client-ready resources. From clear strategies to help clients meet retirement savings and income needs, to ways to cover rising healthcare costs and more, Nationwide simplifies planning so more time can be spent helping clients. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
On the front pages today, it's an active front pages because Lisa's back. What did we prove yesterday, Lisa? John Tucker is no Lisa Mateo. What do you got?
We got a lot in store for you. First of all, Comcast, NBC Universal, they really want to get into NBA games. They're willing to offer big bucks, $2.5 billion a year to air a package of NBA games. So they really want to get into this playoff regular season games. They'd appear on NBC as well as their Peacock streaming service. Warner Brothers Discovery, they're really fighting to keep those rights. They want
Paul,
to keep them.
Your wheelhouse. What do you think?
Warner Brothers Discovery, TNT has had the NBA for decades. I mean, so they have a really built up a nice franchise here, but it's going to, and I think, and they're going to have right of first refusal here, but Comcast Universal is making a big bid to kind of get into the NBA. Because my question is, I can't wait to see what the WNBA rights go for now. Caitlin Clark and all that kind of stuff. Now, they're under a longer-term contract, but I think the WNBA may try to come back and renegotiate a little
bit
early.
Why are they doing itty-bitty moves? Why don't they just come in and say, we have kajillions of dollars we want to do it
Comcast?
All? Streamers.
Streamers. Yeah. They haven't exactly right, Tom. They haven't really jumped in full force yet into programming. But, most expectations of that are even the NFL, which has the big price tags, a lot of that is going to go streaming over the next 5+ years.
What else do you have?
All right, we just heard McDonald's results, right? Reported this morning. Now we're learning, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that they want to expand in China more than 10,000 by the end of 2028. And this is after spending $1.8 billion to buy back a bigger slice of the business in China. So a couple challenges, though. There's a rival, Tastien, that's there. They offer locals that local move with, burgers made of duck and tofu things like that.
No, they just go in with their regular McDonald's menu, they'll be fine.
Yes. But then you have Yum China, though, who operates KFC, Pizza Hut, though they're in China and they're big too, so that's another competition. And then Starbucks too has big China plans. So
there may be a technology cold war between China and the West, but when it comes to food, no problem.
They have the Sichuan double chicken burger. It's a popular menu featuring chicken patties, lettuce, Sichuan sauce on a brioche bun. They have regional dishes, congee, red bean boba tea. Okay. Afterthought would love that. Spicy McWings, a crisp-cut fries, and bizarre combo meals.
There we go.
That's what it says.
But you're right, Paul, though. China, the fifth largest market by sales globally for burger fast food restaurants, growing 6% a year, which is faster than the U.S.
Yep. So they're like everybody. Everybody's the same. Everybody wants a good McDonald's burger.
The China optimist, Elizabeth Economy in Foreign Affairs, I'm reading it right now. Just, it's her first soiree back from working with Raimondo at Commerce. And she says, I'm sorry, it's China. Get over it. It's ginormous. That's one of the basic themes. Next.
Now, meanwhile, Subway, the sandwich chain that was exploding all over the place, it's starting to shrink its chains. By 443 stores in the U.S., that was what it shrunk. 2023 was Subway's eighth straight year of shrinking its store. Now, this is from analysts telling the New York Post that it's going to get even worse because of California's minimum wage law, so they could shrink their Subway chains even more. I'm a Jersey Mike's girl, so...
Yep.
Got that right.
But they're more, when you think about the fast food locations around the country, Subway's number one.
Yes.
Like more than McDonald's. I didn't know that until just recently.
Correct.
Subway's everywhere. Okay.
I've only been in a few times, and every time I order something, I'm still hungry. I don't know what that means.
Because they don't pack their sandwiches with enough meat. Just my personal opinion.
I'm asking. I don't know. I'm just,
I think the interesting thing here is about the minimum wage in California. After learning in the fall that the minimum wage was increasing. Subway locations started raising prices, with some hiking them as much as 7 to 10%.
Well, one of the Chipotle items, a salad that everybody orders, is $36 in California.
Oh, in California?
No. Yeah, because of the there was a lead article in one of the millions.
I'm still shocked at my $14 Miller Lite at a dive Jersey Shore bar this weekend. I'm still shocked by that.
Think what the Miller Lite costs at Madison Square Garden.
Exactly.
Yankee Stadium next.
All right. A warning out there for young folks in college or getting ready to graduate who are looking for a job. There are some scams out there. They're targeting these young college graduates. They're using information to impersonate their school dean or professor that the kid knows, and they're telling them that they've recommended for them for this job. So they're hacking into professors' emails, or they're creating these fake emails. But the goal is to get the student to apply for the job and then steal their identity, bank information. They're asking these kids to put up money for home office equipment. There was one student who dished out money for a laptop and software, almost $2,000. So it's just a warning they're putting out there. The FTC actually posted that warning on its website, too. So it's tough. These kids are looking for a job. You know, they get something, and they're, like, excited about it, and then it turns out to be a scam. So.
Live chat, Subway is $12 now. It was $5 footlong 5 years ago.
Yes, I remember the $5.
It's a $12 footlong
now. Inflation news you can use. Oh,
the college thing, I mean, I'm getting bombarded by this. I can't imagine what the kids and others are. I mean, the whole, your email, folks, be careful out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
and,
a lot
and of text as well. They're going through your text as well.
They even get through the, we have a very sophisticated system at Bloomberg. Thank you, Mr. Secunda.
Yep.
And it gets through that. I even rarely at Bloomberg, I even get
occasionally,
stuff.
Yeah. I just told my kids on the phones, if you don't know exactly, if it's not in your library, in your book, don't answer. Don't respond. If you don't know, I'm shocked that people, I'll hear them on the train.
They click on the link. Pick,
and the, or the on the phone say, hello, hello. So you actually answer a phone call from somebody you don't know? Right. Who does that anymore?
I know. Yeah. But I get the Geek Squad, the FedEx emails, all those, and try to click on the link.
This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast, bringing you the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. You can also watch the show live on YouTube. Visit the Bloomberg Podcast channel on YouTube to see the show weekday mornings from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern from our global headquarters in New York City. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen. And always on Bloomberg Radio, the Bloomberg Terminal, and the Bloomberg Business App.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.